Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. This amazing Bible, we are taking it apart, looking in it, under it, between it, all between the lines, because one word can make an entire passage totally different if you ponder it. You must read it methodically, slowly. Read it out loud. Let it go into your own ears and read it multiple times. If you read it 1,000 times through in your lifetime, God will only smile at you when you get home. And the Lord spake unto Moses, we're knee deep in Leviticus chapter 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto them, whomsoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanliness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. They will put themselves in the proper cleanliness and keep their minds correct when they come into my holy things. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And whosoever toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanliness, whatsoever uncleanliness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until evening. All you had to do was touch an unclean person. The law is impossible to keep. That's what God has done. Like he said over and over, he gave the original covenant to Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is a carnal thing, one is a spiritual thing. If you do the spiritual thing, you will have no trouble keeping God's laws. But when the children came out of Egypt, they proved to God they could not keep the simplest of statutes, follow me with all your heart, because one day they followed him, the next day they wanted to go back to Egypt. So much doubt and untrust, so much stiff-necked is what God called them, because they were stubborn and they would not do the simplest of things. The soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until evening, shall not eat of the holy things unless he wash his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it and die. Therefore, if they profane it, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing. A sojourner of the priests or an hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, he shall eat of it, and he that is born in his house, they shall eat of the meat. So, and we also seen back in Genesis that God's people are the Hebrews, but you could be adopted in very easily. If they purchased you and they circumcised you, you were a Hebrew. If you came there and wanted to be a Hebrew, you could become a Hebrew. And just as it is, you know, you read this Bible and said, these are God's chosen people. Yes, they are. But he made a way for everyone, just like he does when his son comes and rips the veil in half and opens up God for every single person in this world. They shall eat of his meat. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, she may not eat of an offering of the holy things. But if that stranger were to want to become a Hebrew, that is possible. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall no stranger eat thereof. And if a man eat of the holy thing unwittingly, then he shall be put the fifth part thereof unto it, and shall give it unto the priest with the holy thing. They shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto the Lord. Now, this is the law of holiness here. This is the portion of the sacrifice that is for the priest to eat and sustain them. God is giving a binding law on every aspect of human life here. I mean, everything from how you clean yourself to a woman's monthly visitor to how a man and a woman sleep together to how you treat your neighbor and this and that. And now how you sacrifice for every such sin, the statutes are piling up and piling up and becoming volumes and volumes of laws. Now he's dealing with how the priest may eat of their portion of the sacrifice and who may eat of it along with them. Verse 16, chapter 22, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of trespass when they eat their holy things, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron. And you notice he always speaks unto Moses, just like he began in the garden. He spoke to Adam, and Adam spoke to Eve. He speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to Aaron, because we seen earlier, Aaron's heart is not steadfast, and Moses's is. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be in the house of Israel or of the strangers of Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering. Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. And there's a recurring theme here, at your own will. You must desire to offer this thing. If you're doing it out of religious custom because you think you have to, it is of no avail to you and it will not help you. The same thing now when Jesus Christ came and set the law aside by fulfilling it. If you come to him in words only, it means nothing. You must come to him in your own will and your heart. That's all that God wants. The most recurring theme in this Bible is the heart of man, and God wants the heart of man because the Bible says the mind is contrary to the will of God and the flesh is an abomination, especially when the spirit man, which resides in the heart, is not in control of the mind, which controls the flesh. You have to steer this school bus straight down the road, otherwise it's going to go in the ditch. Ye shall offer at your own will with a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whatsoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vows. And that little portion there goes back to Cain and Abel. Abel brought the best that he had. Cain didn't. You see that Cain's sacrifice was not accepted because he did it out of the fact that he was supposed to do it. And Abel brought the best that he had, looking for God's blessing. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be a perfect accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wind or scurvy or scab, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. The best that you have, bring to the Lord, even today, the best that you can be. God asks you to get up in the morning, be the best person that you can be in your heart. Do my will and follow after me. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering. But for a vow, it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them. And blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you. This must come from you, not from anyone else, you know. And there again, we had, when Jesus went to the temple, this is exactly what we've seen. We had vendors set up. You get your oil, get your sacrificial oil here. Get your sacrificial lamb here. Get your turtle doves, your pigeons. You know, I got better pigeons than Shlomo does over there. You know, mine are, I get two for a dollar here. No, these were not the best of the best. They were something you bought from a stranger for the purpose of going in and doing a ritual. It did not come from your heart. Had it come from your heart, you would have selected from your flock and you would have brought
the very best.
The very best.
Yes, sir.
When a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, and then it shall be 7 days under the dam, from the eighth day and the henceforth, it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Chapter 22, verse 28. Whether it be a cow or a ewe, he shall not kill it or her young, both in one day. When you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. Be desirous of doing it. Don't do it for religious custom. And when the law develops and goes on down the line, it becomes a religious custom. And that's all. A cold, unfeeling thing. I have to go to the temple today and offer sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Just because you have to. Not because you want to. Not because you know your heart is not following God. Because you have to. On the same day it shall be eaten up. You shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall you profane my holy name. But I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. That brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines. WBFF 97.7. God's magnificent guidepost to get you to heaven. And that's another story right there. You better hang in because ain't that many Christians going to heaven.
Yes.
God's kingdom, yes. But heaven is reserved for the best of the best. And if you hang with me till we get to Revelation 3 and 4, I'll show you where that is. But you know what? As long as I get into the outermost parts of God's kingdom, I will feel that he had grace on me because I don't deserve anything but hell. And let me explain that. Deserve nothing but hell. Deserve to be ground into powder and thrown into hell as powder. Let's put it that way. Because I have read this book through 100 times through. And more in other passages, hundreds of times. And I still sin. I'm still a sinful person. Even though my heart, I believe, is true. I'm still a sinful person. And to all of you sinless Christians, catch the earlier Leviticus sections, because you can sin unaware. Mm-hmm. You can sin accidentally.
Yes,
you
sir.
Can sin unintentionally. The law, because they could not follow the simplicity of God's covenant, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children, he put a binding law, and everything in this world can be a stumbling block to you. Even modern science fights against this law now. The biologics and all this caused by sin. God says, you know, if you don't sin, you'll never get sick. That is a absolute fact. If you don't sin, you'll never get sick. But do we turn our hearts toward God and be absolutely healthy? No, we go to the doctor and let medical science try to fight against this law and heal you in ways that you were never meant to be sick. So, for all you sinless Christians out there, it's not that easy. Yes, Christ died and your sins are forgiven, but you pay for your sins in this life. Every time you sin, it is detriment to your body. You sin enough, you will get ill. I promise you. Christ said to the man who he healed, "Go now and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Because obviously you're sick because you were a sinful man. So don't believe that your sins will not have consequences because Christ has forgiven me. God forbid, Paul says, because he will lay the lash on your back. And the lash may be a sickness. You never know.
The minute that you take carte blanche.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, does not give you, Christ's grace does not give you the right to go out and willfully sin.
Sir.
Chapter 23, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to the holy convictions, convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. Of rest and holy convocation ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. So to all you sinless Christians out there, Sunday is not the Sabbath. You've been sinning all your life on Saturday, and you didn't even know it. But thank the Lord, Christ came and became the Sabbath for you. So you're not bound by this law. And take great care not to try to keep any aspect of this law, because if you do, you must keep it all. And by trying to keep any aspect of this law, you put Christ's sacrifice of no avail to you. You must choose one or the other, the freedom in Christ or the bondage of the law. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. On the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, menial tasks, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come unto the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall weave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. Ye shall offer that day, when ye weave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. Ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings, and ye shall count unto you for the morrow after the Sabbath. From the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow. After the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of the 10th deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall have bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meats offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field. When thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Sabbath is not only Saturday. There can be other special Sabbaths. Sabbath is a day of rest and consecrated unto God. Sometimes there are 2 Sabbaths in a row in certain things in the law here. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall afflict your souls. And Jonathan told us in the last segment that is a fast to afflict your soul, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. He shall do no work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it is that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among the people. So if you go there on those days and you do not fast, then you will be cut off from the people.
Yes.
And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in the same day, the same soul I will destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your dwellings.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.